Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the GFC Crop Science Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Gadekar from Equirus Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We at Equirus are pleased to host the management of GFC Crop Science to discuss the 3Q FY26 results. We have with us today Mr. Bhavesh Shah, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Sahil Shah, the CFO. I would like to invite Mr. Bhavesh Shah to initiate the proceedings for the results call. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, good morning and good afternoon to all. See, basically, welcome to this first call. And see, about GFC, so there are so many people who are joining first time. So as a part of GFC, GFC company who.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. There is some background noise coming from your end.
Okay. Now it's okay? And am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. See, basically, this GFC, which is started by my father in 1985, so a company is more than 40 years old company. And our main strength is manufacturing, R&D, and patent. So in particular manufacturing, we have two technical plants, and one is for intermediate plants. So where we are making many technical products, and among these products, 10 products in the last 15 years, we have started first time in India, which were imported by a multinational company. So this is our strength. Second, last year, we have started one intermediate company where we are now making a few intermediate also to reduce our dependency on China. It is our part of strategy, and also in future also, it will continue. Same way, in R&D, we have two R&D. One is technical R&D, and second is formulation R&D. So in technical R&D, we are doing innovative process. So any new product, which is doing on off-patent in future also, so we are planning before 5 years to make this product viable and from basic raw material. So in our R&D is doing the all necessary work. And as an example, one product called CTPR, which was product patent expiring 22 and process patent expiring December 25. So our R&D team developed an innovative process, and we launched this product in October 22. And today, GFC is one of the largest technical manufacturing company in India. Same way, we have in last few years, we made a few products from basic raw material. Second R&D is formulation R&D, where we are making a new formulation also. Giving one example, SLR product, which is such an emerging product. In India, GFC has started first time this new formulation. And same way, there are a few other formulation also, which is started first time in India by GFC. Third is patent. So we have already received 102 patents in our basket, and 108 patents is in our pipeline. So from 102 patents, already we launched 12 products in last 3 years, and this successfully. And because of this success, our this patented product business from 3% before 3 years, now it is 17%. And our presence is entire 23 states, and also main all crops like paddy, sugarcane, now new upcoming corn, wheat, vegetables, rice in everywhere and every crop we are business and we are very strong in particular paddy and pulses, which is a future for India. So basically our main success, see basically last year because of 6 days continuous rain, season was very bad for agrochemicals. But as a strategy, we have three verticals. One is B2B, second is B2B export, and third is B2C. So because of that, and innovative process, patented product, and new product, our this year also, our 9 months results are also showing very good. And with the support of this all vertical and patented thing, in future also, our growth will be good and it will be sustainable growth. So for financial, I will share with
you. So good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining this call. I will further take you through the strategy and the thought process behind the company's growth and how do we see our company progressing. So as Bhavesh bhai said, we are an integrated agrochemical company wherein we have technical manufacturing capabilities as well as formulation, and we have three business verticals. That is, we have domestic B2B, which is where we deal with almost all agrochemicals in India who are our customers, and we also have domestic B2C, which is through our distributor network. We have almost 5,000 distributors across India, and we supply the material through our 24 CLF locations, which ultimately reaches the farmer. And we have export, which is also again a B2B business, wherein we export to almost 37 countries. The split amongst our businesses is that our domestic B2B constitutes almost 40% of our revenues. Domestic B2C is another 40%. That makes the domestic business at 80%, and remaining export is 20%. Now in terms of strategy, the way we have been trying to differentiate ourselves in the market is by introducing innovative products. So as Bhavesh bhai said, we started our journey by introducing Line 3 technicals in 2011, being the first manufacturer in India after the innovator company. And then since then we have introduced such 10 technicals which we are the first ones in India to launch. Then what we have developed as a differentiation factor is that once we launch the off-patent molecule, we try to partner that molecule with different existing molecules or newer molecules and try to identify a novel combination which is patentable and which also solves the purpose for a farmer in increasing its efficiency or to solving multiple problems by using one solution. So that is how we have come up with this patent strategy, wherein we have patented many of our such combinations. 102 patents we have already received, 108 are in pipeline, and these combinations have been a success for us since last 3 years, that with the increase in its contribution in our total revenue, the margin profile has also increased. In continuation to the strategy of launching innovative combination products in the market for different solutions every year, we also give this patented molecules to our co-marketeers in B2B business. So the way we work is that we would launch a certain combination in our own brand, that is in our own B2C network. And then once the product is popularized, we would try to give it to other co-marketers also for expanding the reach of this molecule. So that is how our strategy has been evolving around bringing in new technicals which are getting off patent, and once we bring those technicals, we try to combine those technicals with different partners so that at a farmer level, there is better efficiency, there is multiple solutions available in one single crop, and we are able to patent those combination and create a niche out of this. To give you one example, just 3 years back we have launched a three-way combination product called PCT410,
Now, this product is a seed treatment product which is used for coating of seeds before they are sown. Now, this product has been a blockbuster product for us, where we are seeing that in the span of 2 to 3 years, we have scaled up the volumes of this business to almost 50 to 70 crore rupees for this particular brand. Now, this product is solving a lot of problems for farmers in terms of the yield or germination of the seed once it is sown. The rate at which the germination happens is resulting into a better yield for farmers. So by showing these advantages and by putting marketing demonstrations across fields, using trade demonstrations at dealer levels, we have been able to popularize this product. And with the success of this product, we have also been able to give this product to co-marketing to other partners in this area. So that is how we have been focusing on our business. In terms of financials, if you see, we have done in almost 9 months, that has ended December. So in that 9 months, we have done revenue of almost 1150 crores. And in this revenue, if you see, 1114 crores to be precise. And this 1114 crores, we have done an EBITDA of 153 crores. This 153 crores EBITDA is an increase of 32% from last year. And this has resulted into a PAT of 75 crores this year, which was 59.6 crores last year. This 75 crores of PAT is also after an exceptional item of adjustment due to new labor wage code effect, wherein we have done additional provisions under exceptional items for 4.5 crore rupees. So that is how the finances have panned out in the last 9 months. I think that is all from our side. If you could, we can open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and 1. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone phone. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. First question is from the line of Shivansh Singh from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello sir. So my first question would be, how should we think on FY27, given that IMD has forecasted El Nino for the Kharif season? Your comments on that?
See, basically, yes, definitely, forecast is El Nino. In my earlier speech, I told that we are more, our main strong area is paddy. And normally in paddy, 40% consumption is on paddy. And paddy is showing where the irrigation facility is there. So we are not seeing much challenges because of this El Nino effect.
Okay, sir. So also with the rising fertilizer prices, do we see any impact on the farmer profitability or their ability to spend on the crop protection products?
See, basically, because of this, it is a huge shortage of fertilizer, and because of that, now we see that nutrition product, see, we have a few nutrition products also. So these farmers are forced to buy these nutrition products. And this nutrition product will definitely have a good score and it will increase.
Okay, sir. Also, any sourcing challenges due to the Middle East conflict?
See, normally we are sourcing from China and no doubt because of this food price it is impacted. There is already passed on to the customer. So from 1st April, we have increased the price from 10 to 15% already to the market. So and we are not exporting any product to the Middle East. So we are not seeing any problems because of this.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Avnish Burman from Vaikariya Change LLC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to extend the last participant's question a little bit. Because of this conflict, can you just tell us in a little bit more detail about what is the impact of business and a little bit impact on the industry? So one is fertilizer, but in terms of some of the other things, like in your manufacturing, what kind of energy source you are using, how has that changed, how much more you are paying for whatever energy source you're using? If you just give a little bit more detail on the impact of business, both on the supply side and on the pricing, costing side, in your business.
Yes, definitely. See, because of Middle East, one basic main concern is crude. Crude prices increase, and because of that, all raw material prices increase, and there are few raw material availability is a concern. Prices increase, so that price we have already passed on to the our customers, and we have increased our price from 10% to 15%, number one. Number two, see, basically availability of raw material. Normally our strategy, we are for imported raw material, we are keeping 45 days inventory, so we are not facing much challenge. No doubt there are some very rare raw materials are very critical, but overall we can't see any difference. See, basically logistic price has increased because of the availability of ships has decreased. So that from China, it is already almost double. And that, because of that also, prices increase and which is passed on to the customers. Number three, fertilizer. If you are talking about fertilizer because of gas is price increase and even ammonia price is increased. So fertilizer cost has been very high and it is availability is also very concerned. So normally in this case, liquid fertilizer or nutrition product or there are the categories which has come in the fertilizer act now, it is like seaweed product or so many amino acid products. So these products will definitely increase and in our case we have 3-4 products. So we see that it is a good potential for particular this year because farmer has to spray and if the fertilizer is not available, so they will go for nutrition products like this. So I hope any questions?
Yeah. So I have a couple of follow-ups. I just want to divide my questions into two buckets. One is on, let's say, the cost increase, and one is on the supply constraint. So the cost increase, from what I understand, you have taken a 10-15% price increase. Is it fair to say, like, the gross profit per kg that you were making, that will kind of sustain because of this 10% or 15% price increase, or there would be some decrease in your gross profit per ton or per kilo, whichever way you want to define it?
As you said, the gross profit typically would broadly be the same if you talk about per kg, because whatever we are
transferring as a cost will be added to our profit. So that is the case when it comes to costing. In B2B, it is the prices are very elastic, so it is easier to pass on the cost. In B2C, there is some lag which typically happens. So we have started increasing our pricing or giving signals from 1st April, wherein we are seeing the acceptance also coming from the market. In terms of supply, as you said, so there is no supply disruption per se, wherein you know, our production is currently getting impacted. But there are certain delays due to this shipping and logistics issue. Also, if this gets further prolonged, say if this gets further prolonged by another month or so, then there could be a possibility where the supply could be impacted. But as of now, we are fully covered in terms of our inventory and in terms of our overall production scenario.
Okay, quickly two follow-up questions before I get back into you. The first is, when you're transferring these kind of prices on your B2B business, are you not facing any kind of backlash from your the partners? Because, I mean, typically what happens is if the cost in the supply chain goes up, everybody shares the pain. So what you are indicating is that you have transferred all the cost increase to the partners and you are not getting impacted by it. All the hits is taken by the partners. Is that the right assumption?
So what happens is that, see, in certain chemicals or agrochemicals, while we are selling the final product, so whatever cost increase is there, typically we try to pass that increase to our B2B partners. And as B2B partners are also working in the same environment, they are aware about the scenarios and they are aware about the situation in the global as well as the domestic market. And sometimes it is also about demand and supply, where you know, anticipating the demand, you know, with the upcoming kharif season, everybody would like to have their supplies assured. Assurance becomes an important point while, you know, we are discussing about such uncertainty. So there is in certain cases, we are not able to pass, as I said, in B2C, where there is a lot of channel inventory, distributors are there, there is a lot of competition in that generic market. So their passing on that cost in the B2C becomes difficult. Similarly, certain technicals which we procure, so there are certain technicals which we also procure, there also we have seen that the price increase has already been passed to us. So it is a scenario where everybody would transfer that cost. But at a B2C level, the price lag is there, wherein after 2 to 3 months, the price will increase.
Okay. And is it safe to assume that right now you are using your raw material inventory, and in terms of supply of raw materials, things have not normalized. And that is why if it extends for one more month, then we can start to see some problems.
Correct. And also we have inventory that all stays. We be it raw material or finished goods or bulk. So this cost escalation which also happens as a company, it would happen in phased manner. So we are able to pass on accordingly that way.
Thank you so much. I'll get back into it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participants to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Maitri Shah from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. A few questions. Firstly, on the patented products, so you said we currently have 102 products that we've patented. Close to how many have been commercialized?
So we have commercialized 12 patents till now. And our plan is that, you know, we will be coming up with such launches, one or two launches on an yearly basis, wherein we will be adding products in our portfolio based in the segments that we are targeting for particular crops.
So, a total of 1 to 2 launches annually, is that what you are targeting?
Correct.
Okay. And currently, what percentage of sale comes from the 12 patented products? Because we're just selling it to the domestic market, so percentage of domestic market sale is keep it there.
So currently, if you see in the last financial year, if you see almost 20% of our revenues have come from patented product.
And this year, have we commercialized any product in FY 26?
Yes, we have launched one product this year.
Okay. Okay. And how has been the kind of acceptance of that product, and how are we like marketing it? What sort of future do you see for that product going ahead?
Yeah, so the launch product that we have, it is an insecticide and a fungicide mixture, which is into paddy crop. We are seeing good results, and we are seeing that this will take one season for it to ramp up, but it is a high potential product for us.
Going forward, maybe 2 to 3 years down the line, what sort of percentage of revenue are you targeting from your patented products?
So we are seeing that going forward in the upcoming 3 years, we see that almost the growth rate that we are having will continue with that growth rate that we are currently having. So broadly, on a very high basis, almost 40 to 50% revenue will be coming from this kind of products.
Okay. Yes.
Yes,
please. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, and FY 26, what sort of revenue you had from the patented product?
FY 26.
So far in the second half.
So FY 26, we would have almost 20% from the patented product.
Oh, similar range. Okay.
Yes.
Also, these patented products might, I think, a greater higher margin compared to your this off-patent technicals. So, what sort of margin differential you have in these products?
So typically, it is right that the patented products have higher margin profile. So, typically, the premium that we get over generics is almost 20 to 25%. So, to give you an example, if a generic product is having a margin of say 35 to 40%, we are talking about gross profit margin from material consumed, then the patented product will be having say around 55 to 60% margins.
Okay. And all of the products are currently being manufactured in our capacity, right?
Yes, yes.
If you could help me out with the utilizations of our facilities, maybe the utilization of formulations and the utilization of technicals.
Sure. Yes, so the utilization of formulations is typically considered at a lower side, because formulations is used mostly from a seasonal perspective. It is a more simpler plant where no chemical reactions happen. It is more of mixing and grinding that happens. So there the utilization is in the range of 30 to 40% because of the seasonality. The technical plants that we have, which is one at near Ahmedabad and the biggest plant, which is at Nandesari, there the capacity utilizations are in the range of 70 to 75%.
And the peak utilization from like the technicals and formulations close to, we can like utilize close to 85-90%?
Yes, we can do around 90%.
Oh, you can go around 90%. At peak utilization, how much revenue do you expect from the total plants that we have if we are running at peak utilization? Not on the formulations, but on the technicals?
So with the technicals and with the kind of mix that we have in revenues, which is, we have almost 75% of our business which is coming from formulations and 25% which is technical, we see that with peak utilization, we will be almost reaching around 1900 to 2000 crores. But there is a plan, or typically what happens is that within the same facility, there is a scope for debottlenecking, and there is, with the debottlenecking, we can increase the capacities further in the existing plant also. Secondly, what is also happening is that all the newer chemistries that we are introducing are all low volume, high value products. So there also, with minimum capacity, we are able to do good value of business. So we see that the plant is sufficient to cover, almost our 3 year kind of strategy that we have in currently.
That is great. You have any 3 year kind of vision in revenue and margins you would like to?
Currently, it will be difficult for us to share, but broadly, the growth rate that we have been experiencing these last 3 years, we are expecting that this or at least higher growth rate by another 5-7% is what we are targeting for the upcoming 3 years.
That is great. Secondly, on our exports, are we planning to export our patented products to the B2B businesses there, or this is solely a domestic business that we're targeting?
No, we have plans. So we have already opened a subsidiary in Brazil,
And as a part of that, we are also registering our patented products in which are established in India to other geographies, specifically in Brazil, where we are also trying to create a differentiated product portfolio for us to look for our expansion strategies in Brazil going forward. So yes, we are in the process of registering our patented products outside India also, and we are also exploring that whether in these geographies we can patent these products also.
Okay. Also, the raw material sourcing mostly happens from China, or are we also sourcing it from any other countries like the Middle East? And what
percentage? No, it is mostly from China.
Mostly the technicals from the China.
It will be all intermediates that we import from China for manufacturing of our technicals.
Okay, and have you seen a price increase on that coming in due to the conflict right now?
Yes, we have seen certain products price have increased in intermediates. There are certain price increase in ancillary products also, like packing material, which are plastic, which are derivatives of petrochemicals. So there also we have seen certain price increase. But in our B2B business, we have been able to pass on a majority of our cost to the customers, whatever price increase is there.
Oh, also to the B2B clients that we are exporting to, we've been passing on the price increase?
Yes. Even to the global B2B clients, because global B2B clients are also aware about the scenario, and even in China they are facing this issue. So from a competition standpoint, almost every player would have increased their prices.
Correct. Okay. Any reason why we are going so slow with the product launches? Because we have close to 102 patents and also close to 108 pipeline. So do these launches take like 6 to 8 months? How is the registration process?
The registration for one single product takes almost 5 years, because it is a long run process. So whenever we are introducing one product which is a patented unique combination, it requires 5 years of trial and data generation before we register this product. Apart from registration, what is important is how do we manage this product once we launch. You know, so we have a team of almost 300 sales professionals who are there, along with 30-35 marketing professionals. So for a team of this size to do generic business and also to handle new products and do marketing activities, as per our business strategy, we feel that one or two launches in a year would justify the product's potential, and we will be able to then give enough due importance for us to scale that.
And you also mentioned you are co-launching some products with other marketeers. So any marketing partnerships that you could like give a name out? Who are we partnering with?
Sure. So we do co-market our patented products, and there are different companies for different products which we have co-marketed. To give you examples, like Rallis has been one of the co-marketeers. Sumitomo Chemicals, even Mankind Pharma has a division of Mankind and GPAGRI. We have Chambal Fertilizers, who are also our co-marketing partners. So the arrangement here works is more of a white labeling, where it is manufactured by GSP and marketed by the marketing company.
That is great. Yeah, thank you so much for answering all the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. Participants, to join the question queue, you may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Yes,
thank you so much for your participation. It was good answering your questions, and hope we were able to address your questions. Thank you. Thank you for joining.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Equirus Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.